Let me try that one more time. Say, whoa! Let's see your pens.
Lesson plan.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Let me pray for y'all. You can keep looking if you haven't found it. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, and thank you so much that you give us the privilege of serving, and we pray we can be a big, big blessing to our city. In Jesus' name, amen. I went to a fashion show Friday night. I was doing my thing. Actually, I went to watch a fashion show. My daughter was in a fashion show. And when I was there, this guy came up to me and he said, you know, can I set up a meeting to talk to you? And I said, well, what do you want to talk about? And he says, well, I just have a question. I said, well, ask me now. And so he asked me and he says, you know, I feel like I'm trying to hear God. I have some things I want to get some direction on, and I can't hear God. I want to know how I can hear him. How many of you would really like to know God's will, not only for your life, but for certain specific questions you have today? Raise your hand. Very good, very good. Okay. It is critically important for us to know how to discover God's will in our life, not only for the long term, like does he want me to be a doctor or does he want me to work at Starbucks? I mean, those are two extremes, but you know, you're trying to ask God for your long term, but on an everyday basis. Should I go out with this person? Should I take this job? Should I invest in this investment? Should I, you know, what should I do? And you want to have a system or ways that you can qualify and discover God's will for your life. Because the number one commandment is to love God. The definition of loving God is obeying God, which basically means doing what he wants. It's all the same thing, doing God's will. You can't say you're a Christian or pray a prayer to become a Christian and then go about your business doing whatever, and then every now and then, oh, I think I need to ask God about this, okay? You really want to say, Lord, I'm giving my life to you, so let's walk together, and I'm going to follow you and let you guide and direct me on decisions all the time, every day, every day. You should find yourself asking for God's advice every day, all the time. Okay, and so we're gonna talk about that this week in the next 2 weeks, just so to help us get some guidelines. But let's look at chapter 7, verse 21 of Matthew. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." He who does the will of my Father. Basically saying, the people who obey me are really mine. Those are the people who are mine, not the people who say I go to the church. When I was my son was little, I was a football coach, Pop Warner, for 3 years, and the coach never got saved. He was not a Christian. I kept witnessing to him. He's a very dear friend of mine, but he never got saved. And sadly to say, he's never been in this building, which I call him up and tell him he's evil, wicked, because he's never even been to, you know, I'm like, me and you are boys, you don't even come to my church. And he's like, oh, man, you know. Anyway. So he says when he dies, what he's going to say is that he knows me. So I tell him, brother, do not mention my name, because I'm going to find myself just getting ready to walk into heaven, and someone's going to grab me by the neck and say, can we talk here for this brother over here? He said, you vouch for him. No, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, now, before we leave the next verse, I want to ask y'all something. How many of you, by a show of hands, have casted out a demon before? Okay, a couple people. How many of you, by a show of hands, have prophesied and done many wonders in God's name? Okay. Few people. Most of y'all have not. Basically, how many of you did not raise your hand in any of those two, three questions? Okay, look around the room. Okay. Okay, so all of y'all on a scale of 1 to 10, if casting out demons and doing many wonders in God's name is a 10, you guys would be somewhere below that. A 1 or a 2 or a 3 or a 4 or a 5. Okay? Look what Jesus says about those people who've done those things. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, and done many wonders? And then I will declare to them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. My point is this. If Jesus is saying that to those people, how much more would there be people like you who don't do that, that think you're good with God, and God says, I never knew you. Never knew you. And so we want to make sure that every day you are living, doing the will of God. That you are doing the right thing with your time, your resources, your decisions, your relationships, that it's all what God wants. Because I promise you, there's stuff in your life. Matter of fact, I don't have to promise you. How many of you know there's stuff in your life that God does not approve of? Okay, there you go. Let me tell you something really simple. It's going to sound condescending, hopefully not. But if you want to know God's will, just deal with those things. If you want to grow as a Christian, deal with those things. I'm for real. Go home and write those things down that you just admitted to and deal with them. Your faith would grow exponentially. But here's what we do. We have all the stuff in our life we know is wrong, and then we say, God, bless me. Give me some more knowledge so I can be blessed. And God says, what about that stuff? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you dealt with that stuff, you'd be on your way to growing faster than anything else you can do. You can learn all Bible knowledge in your mind that you can get. But if you don't obey God and the basic stuff you know, that Bible knowledge is not going to help you. It's not going to help you. I mean, it'll help you a little bit, but you're not going to see the growth you want. If you want to see the growth you want, deal with the stuff you know, the stuff you already know you shouldn't be doing. And that is Christianity 101, because you will deal with that for the rest of your life, okay? So if we look at our lesson plan, we're going to go over just the top six things, and we'll do the fill-ins next week. But we're going to go over those top six things that are six keys to God's will. These are just observations and things about God's will you need to know. Now, I asked you a few minutes ago how many of you had something you were struggling with. I want you to be thinking about that question. For example, do I have a relationship with this person, whether it be dating or business? Do I study these classes? Do I spend my money here? Do I move in with these people? Whatever that question is, and by the way, let it be many. Think about those questions as I'm going through this message, because some of you may get your answer here in a few minutes. Because sometimes the answer is really not as complicated as you think. Sometimes it's really easy, and we think too much, okay? So number one, God's plans or his will are worth finding out. There's nothing to write because these aren't fill-ins. Turn seven books towards the back to 1 Corinthians. And basically what we're saying is that it is worth your time and effort to discover God's will. Don't see God's will as something you can take or leave. In other words, if I find out what God wants of me, it's not that big a deal. I'll just ask, you know, Shanae, she'll just tell me what she thinks. And, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. You could get a lot of nice people in your life that have wisdom, but God has big time. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, call me and I will tell you great and mighty things you don't know. How many of you want to know a great and mighty thing you don't know? Okay? About your friends. About yourself. About your major, or the, you know, whatever. That God says, I'm going to tell you great and mighty things. And he's not going to tell you everything you ask him. But he says, call to me and I will tell you great and mighty things you don't know. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 9. First Corinthians 2:9 says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You're asking God, what do I do here? What do I do here? And God says, I've already given you all this information, all these opportunities, and you're not asking the Holy Spirit to show it to you. You want to know what those things are. You really do. Before you make a decision about a relationship, you want to hear God on it. Before you make a decision about spending 4 years at college, you want to hear God. You want to hear God. Before you hear make a decision about moving in and being a roommate of somebody, you want to hear God. He can save you a lot of time and energy. How many of y'all are under 30? Okay. How many of y'all are over 30? How many of y'all are old and crusty like me and over 50? Geritol crowd, that's right. Hey. We'll hit you when I came, okay? The older you get, the more people you will meet who are older who have wasted their life. They just wasted their life. The last 2 days I've driven to work, the last 2 Sundays, I've seen a guy on the corner right here. As soon as you come off the A freeway on Rosecrans, he's homeless. And he looks like he's mentally disturbed because he's talking and no one's there. And I look at that guy and I think about what he was like when he was a little boy. And what his mother, if she's alive, remembers as him as a little boy. And he's probably like every other little boy, running around all day long playing baseball, football, whatever, riding his bike. And now he's on the corner and something happened. But he's a human being made in the image of God. And there's so many people whose lives take all these turns for whatever reason. But I know that that wasn't God's desire for him. I know that. You don't want to make those decisions, especially at your age. Because you can make one wrong decision today and it affects the rest of your life. You want to know God's will. You really do. And I'm not talking about, God, do I need to be a doctor only, but about the little things, the relationships you make today. Because if you go to prison, if you were to come to prison with me to visit, and you ask guys, and you're not supposed to ask guys what they're in there for, but, you know, you kind of judge by your rapport what you can say. And I was in the prison at Donovan, and I asked the guy, I said, you know, he was 20-something, talking, you know, he's just a regular dude talking. And I go, you know, what happened? He says, I'm in here for, you know, 25 years of life. I mean, he just can't fathom that. And I go, tell me what happened. He says, well, you know, I was in this, and I shot a guy, and I was with these wrong guys. And I said, let me ask you a question. And I know it's a rhetorical question. I know the answer, but I had to ask it. I said, if you can go back, would you, knowing what you know now, have allowed your friends to punk you and call you all kinds of names because you didn't do what they wanted, or would you do what peer pressure made you to do? He said, I would have let them do anything to me. I made the wrong decision. And it's just one decision. Boom, life's over. And so I stress to you, you want to know God's will. And some of y'all, you're in that place now. You're trying to make decisions about your life, relationships. Please find out what God has to say, because God is always right. He's always right. He ain't sometimes right. He's always right. Okay? Go ask somebody who is wiser than you, multitude of counsel. Go ask somebody's advice. Trust me. I ask people's advice every day. Every single day, I'm asking someone's advice for something. And you know, I'm 50 years old, so I've learned something, but I never know it all. And I'm going to say, what about this? What about this? What about that? And by the way, I'm asking people advice about stuff that I'm supposed to be good at. It's not that I'm not good at it, but there's always a better perspective. So the more you can do that, the better. But look what it says here. Look what it says in verse 13. It says, these things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Luke says in verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Let me say this. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. People who are not led by the Spirit of God, who don't believe in the Bible, don't read the Bible, don't understand the Bible, are not going to understand spiritual things. What I mean by that is, how many ladies in here, just ladies, raise your hand. Okay. No screaming necessary. No, I'm like it. Okay. Okay. All you ladies in the house. Okay. So check this out. If you're dating a guy and you want to break up with him, okay, there's probably five women here going, this is what I need to hear. This is like they're going to do this tonight. Okay. But for all the rest of y'all, you want to write this down. And fellas, too, because this principle applies to both of you. And by the way, this principle applies not only to breaking up, but any kind of negotiation or hard decision with a person. Is it this? Two things. When you make a decision based on God leading you, you feel like this is what God wants me to do. There are some people in your life who will not understand why you're doing that. Why don't understand? Well, I just need to break up with you. Your only reason may be that God is leading you to do that, and that's the only reason you have. I mean, you like him, he's attractive, you get along, you have fun, but God says, I do not want you with him. And that's all he tells you. I'm supposed to move to another state. I'm not sure why. I'm supposed to quit my job. I'm not sure why, but I know that God wants me to do this. Now, so number one is that people who are not spiritual might not get it, and that's okay. Just because you can't convince them doesn't mean you're wrong. You can simply say, I believe it's what God wants me to do. That's it. God told me 15, 18 years ago, we were going to have a church on this property, what you know as Liberty Station, used to be NTC. It's 365 acres. It was a military base. The military closed it. They gave it to the city. It became Liberty Station. And when we found this building, we went to the seller. And my only logic that this was supposed to be our building was God told me. They says, well, Pastor, do you have any money? No, I don't have any money. Well, Pastor, I mean, your church is you're 1 year old. How are you going to? Well, I don't know. I just know this is the building God told me we're supposed to have. I said, okay, Pastor, we need ducats. Greenbacks, Benjamins, you understand? So why don't you come back when you got some cash? I said, okay, but I'm telling you, this is the building God told me to be. This is just a true story. And the lady I had this meeting with, I still see her. I just saw her the other day. She still works for them. We see each other all the time. We laugh about this because it was true. It was true. We're here, right? We're here. And so you don't have to. Now, at some point, you got to come up. We had to come up with the money. But at some point, if you're trying to break up with somebody or negotiate a deal or make a decision that's going to affect people, don't feel like your decision is not legit if they don't get it. Because it's a spiritual-based decision. Number two. Matter of fact, when I left the church I was at, I left because I felt God lead me. I had a great job there, and I said I left, and that was it. God said, why would you leave this job? I said, because God's leading me to something better. I didn't know what it was other than we were going to start a church. Number two, broken record. Everyone say broken record. I'm sorry, not that number two. Number two about this point. Say broken record. If you're going to break up with somebody, or if you're negotiating a deal to buy a car or something, you want to be a broken record. Here's how it goes. You know, I know we get along. I thought it was love at first sight. But I feel like God is telling me we have to break up. He goes, well, I don't understand. You know, we get along. And like you said, we get along. I feel like God is telling me we need to break up. But, you know, we spend all our time together and, you know, I thought we were soulmates. I think it's time we're supposed to break up. But, you know, our parents met, and, you know, I gave you the ring. I think it's time we need to break up. Everyone say broken record. Okay. You want to say the same thing over and over and over and over again. Why am I telling you this? Because if you start trying to drag into having to justify, it doesn't mean you shouldn't have a reason, but your reason can simply be, I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to do. Because someone can talk you out of your decision because you weren't able to talk them into it. But that doesn't mean your decision's wrong. Sometimes God's going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you why. Just do what I say. That's how God works sometimes. And so don't, for yourself, say, God, give me a whole lot of proof. Because he ain't. Matter of fact, if you demand more proof, he may say, I'm going to give you less. You just need to trust me. The just shall walk by faith. Now, if you say, I don't like that, you got to take that up with the Lord. Number two, Discovering God's will is not an exact science. It requires practice. Practice. That means you hear what God says, you hear what you think God says, and you do what God, you think God's telling you to do. When you're born, from the day you're born to the day you die, everything in between is drama-filled. You got ups and downs and all arounds, and all this stuff happens in your life. And in your mind, you're trying to figure out your life. And you make decisions based on how you feel. You make decisions based on what people tell you. You make decisions based on the Bible sometimes. You make decisions based on what you hear in a sermon or whatever. And you're constantly trying to figure out how to figure out what God is saying. The more you listen to God and the more you discover how he speaks to you, the better you're going to get at it. But just understand, from when you're born to the minute you die, his goal is to make you holy. That's what he's trying to do. And if you understand that, you're going to look for decisions that are going to help, and you're going to understand how he's trying to make you holy with the decisions. But what you have to do is keep practicing, keep talking to God, keep in dialogue with him, keep testing your decision-making process. So in other words, if you feel him tell you something or you feel him leading you, make a decision and find out, did it work? In other words, was he honored in it? Did it bring spiritual growth in your life? Did it bring you closer to him? But it's not an exact science. Some people say, well, if I'm going to test God. There was a story in the Bible where Gideon said, God, I'm going to put out a fleece, and if there's dew on the fleece, I know you're speaking to me. And he did it twice, you know. So sometimes we'll say, well, God, if I walk down the street and I see that girl and she says hi to me, that means I'm supposed to talk to her. It does not. It means she said hi to you because she's nice. She may be saying hi to you, so you don't say hi to her. But don't tell God, God, here are my conditions to speak to me. Because that's superstition. And God doesn't necessarily work that way. It takes practice to hear him the right way. Number three in your notes. God has more time and resources than you can imagine. God has unlimited options. We will tell God, God, I have to make a decision before 2 o'clock. And here are my two options. And you know what God says? No, I have 10 options. And I got all the time in the world. Some of you are pressured right now to make a decision. And you have a time limit, and you only have what you think are 2 or 3 options. And God has more time than you can imagine. He has more resources than you can imagine. And he is in no rush. And my encouragement to you is to say, God, here's what I believe are my options. Here's what I believe my timetable is. Can you talk to me? And I want to surrender this whole situation up to you. And can you tell me, do I have any more options? Matter of fact, when I'm calling people up myself for counsel, it's because I have option A and option B, and I don't like either one of them. And I'm like, there's got to be another option. So I call people up and I'll say these exact words. As a matter of fact, I had this conversation today with somebody. I said, here's the situation. Here are my options, what I think. Can you tell me, is there another way I need to be looking at this? And sure enough, everyone say, sure enough. He said, oh, you need to do this. I was like, yeah, that's even better. Oh my goodness, it was so good. So you have to understand that, as the Bible says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's thoughts above your thoughts and his ways above your ways. Don't let the devil pin you down to tell you you have a little God that's limited to only what you know. But you have to say, God, I want to know what you know, and I want to know the options I have based on your wisdom and your knowledge and your resources. By the way, God owns everything. You may not have money, but he does. You may not have any friends, but he does. You may not have any intelligence, but he does. So you're asking for his? And so when you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do, don't think, here are my limitations. I talk to people all the time and they'll say, well, and they'll talk themselves out of their vision before they even start their vision. Well, you know, I could only have this much money, so I know I can't do this. And I don't really know a lot of people, so I know I can't do this. I'm like, you need to stop telling me what you can't do. And let's talk about what God's put on your heart to do. And let's let God provide. And we went to the bank for this building. The bank told us, you have no money. And we said, we understand. I could have told you that. But I have a dream that one day I'm going to have some money. For real. I mean, that happens. I mean, I didn't go into a whole I have a dream speech, but we really did have money. And here's what the bank said. It's a Christian bank, Evangelical Christian Credit Union. They said, we understand you don't have any money right now, but we see God moving in the church and we want to walk with you and we will wait until you have money. That really happened. And they ended up giving us the loan, and they're still in a relationship with us. But the point is that we didn't start with what we don't have. We started with what we wanted to do and trusted God to make up the gap. So you have to understand, God is glorified in your life when he does a lot with a little. When he takes knuckleheads and does amazing things through them. He confounds the foolish, the wise, with the foolish. In other words, he takes people with no money to do stuff people with a lot of money can't do. He takes people with little intelligence to do stuff people with a lot of intelligence can't do. Now, it doesn't mean he's against people with a lot of money, a lot of intelligence. He's not. He's just in favor of people who trust him. And so whether you got a lot or a little, if you trust him, he can do immensely more. So don't limit your options to what you think. Just understand God has more than you can imagine. Number four, discovering God's will is a process. And what I mean by it's a process is that God will show you a little bit at a time. He will show you a little bit at a time, and he will guide you to do a little bit at a time. I had a guy come tell me one day that he felt like God told him he was supposed to marry a young lady. Well, he wasn't dating the girl. The girl didn't like him. She was actually irritated by him. And he says, I'm sure God told me that I'm going to marry her. And I was like, brother, let's talk short term. You're talking long term, okay? Probably in another life. Let's talk short term. So here's a couple of short-term projects. Because if you're faithful in the little, God will bless you in the lot. I'm not saying if he did what I'm going to tell him to do, he's going to get married to her. But I think if he started to do what I would tell him, he would finally realize he's not going to marry her. So I said, number one, do not tell her that God told you this. You ruin everything, okay? Because God did not tell you this. And number two, you need to start brushing with Crest. Because it's kicking all up like here right now. So it's kicking bad. Discovering what God wants you to do long term is a process of you first being obedient in the immediate. Some of you have a dream in your heart. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a mom. I want to be a faithful husband or whatever. Long term. But that long term vision will be clearer when you're faithful in the media. It's a process. And you maybe see people doing what you think you want to do, and you say, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that. And maybe you can. By the way, you shouldn't do something just because you can. Because God will give you abilities to do a lot. Doesn't mean you should do it. You should do what God's called you to do. Okay? And so, what you need to say is, I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to be obedient, and in the process, God is going to reveal to me, as I move, he's going to move me. Because God can't steer you unless you start moving. You got to go. But it's a process. The whole time, you are learning God's will, you are discovering it, you are walking in it, you are becoming it. Abraham went to sacrifice his son Isaac. God said, Abraham, you must sacrifice your son on the hill. I will show you. And Abraham said, yes, sir. Isaac, we got to go. You got to die. And he started walking up the hill. Went up the hill, put him on the wood, put the knife out. And then God said, stop. It's a process. Abraham, I just wanted to see if you would sacrifice your son. Man, couldn't you just ask the brother? Why did I have to go through all this? God is going to lead you through a process. But by the way, if you sit down and you're saying, Lord, I'm trying to discover your will, I'm trying to discover your will, but all you do is wait for a note to float from the sky with the answer on it, it ain't going to happen. You got to start moving, because here's what happens. God can stop you. He can turn you. He did it with Abraham. Abraham was going to kill his son. He had the knife up in the air, and God stopped him. Don't be worried that, oh, I'm going to make this big mistake. I don't know, God, what do you want me to do? Because if you move methodically and you keep prayer in prayerful contact with the Lord, he'll say, okay, stop, go right, not with that person. Trust me, he will. I use this building for example. Anyway, here we have no money. We're going, biting off something bigger than we can chew. And God said, go. I'll meet you every step of the way. And anytime he could have stopped us 1,000 times, 1,000 times. Matter of fact, there was probably 100 times I thought we would never get it because stuff was blowing up. He could have stopped us. But by the way, because we kept listening. So you walk and you keep listening. So if you think you're supposed to go to med school, whatever, start the process. At some point, you're going to realize you hate biology and you're not going to get in, but at least you try. Okay? Or if you think, well, I want to meet that person, well, try to meet them. Just go try it. Don't sit there and pray that it just happens. Go try it. See what happens. Some of you have ideas. You should just go to it. Go do it. See what happens. God will stop you. Just remember, keep listening. Keep asking him. Matter of fact, look at number four. This one hopefully is going to really set you free. Sometimes God gives you options. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. By the way, that's the first page. The first page. Is there anybody here that does not know what In-N-Out Burger is? We just want to see. If you just raise your hand. Where? It's like, they're over there. Let's get them. They're there. Just ratting them out. Are you from out of town? Are you from out of town? Oh, that's good. You've been a week. You're good. Where's the other person? Anybody? Are you from out of town? Oh, see, yeah, you're new. So we understand that. We understand. Is anybody that lives here that doesn't know In-N-Out? Okay, so for all of you two people, In-N-Out is a hamburger place. It's the best hamburger place on the planet. Can I get amen? And by the way, sir, for both of you, just we want to help you out. When you leave here and go, this is Rosecrans' busy street, just drive like a half a mile, so on your left, you need to go. You really need to go. I don't care, it's late at night, It's all fresh. Fresh grease, fresh everything. It's all fresh. They're open till 1 o'clock, and after this service, we kind of own the place. So just go down there and, just go in there and say, who's the man? Everyone yell, Jesus. And it won't get you a free burger, but, you'll get on it. So when you go, this is my opinion because I don't have any statistical data to back this up, but I would imagine it's store per store is the most successful fast food that we all know about. That's just my opinion. It's all always packed. They only make 3 things: hamburgers, French fries, and drinks. They don't have tacos. They don't got eggs. They don't got chimichangas, onion rings, and all that. They got hamburgers, French fries, and drinks. Now, some people go to In-N-Out and they have to pray for what to get. There's only three things. Hamburgers, french fries. What else are you going to get? And I'm not a patient person by nature. God has not created me to be, hasn't created me patient. He's trying to teach me patience. So I get kind of like, I'm online and they're like trying to, Lord, what do I get? I don't know. And I'm like, ah. But I'm trying not to short, but I'm like, you know, my wife can tell when I'm getting irritated. I'm like, just start. And it'd be like, you know, you sit there for, you know, 10 minutes trying to figure out what you're going to get. And then the person finally orders and they start moving out the line. I'm like, thank God, man. How long is it going to take you? And they go, hey, Pastor Miles. I'm like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm so glad you were prayerful over your, you know, your thing there. Yeah, yeah. Here's the deal. God does not probably care what you get. Now, I'm making now a real point, is that sometimes we think that we have to know in this particular instance, because sometimes God says, as long as you choose within this parameters, just do whatever you want to do. Should you get a black car, white car? It doesn't matter. Sometimes it doesn't matter, really. Sometimes God just says, go ahead, you go. You know, this is why I hate shopping with people, because you go there and you go, well, should I get these jeans or should I get these? And I know this is my issue, not my wife's issue or anybody I shop with issue. It's my issue. But it's like they want to try it on. Then they want to go to this store and compare the price. They want to go to this store, a little softer. Let me go back and see it again. I can't handle it. I'm like, I'm good. And now, my point is this, is that sometimes, and I'm not saying they're wrong to shop that way at all, but what I'm saying is that sometimes we make a bigger deal of knowing God's will, and when God says, go have fun, go do something, go. You're going to go to Disneyland, Disney World, you're going to go on this roller coaster first, just go, just stay in contact, because I'll stop you. But don't stress. There are some, my point is, some of the things you want to do that you're trying to get clarity on, God is saying, you got enough clarity. Go. You're an artist praying about should you paint. You're an artist. Paint. But what do I paint? Paint you. Look in the mirror. But what you don't want to do is not paint trying to figure out what to paint. Because the devil can run you crazy trying to figure all this stuff out. For me, it was very simple. I'm a pastor. We need a building. There's a big building. I don't need anything else. I'm going to buy that one. And now, if God doesn't want it to happen, he'll move you on. As a matter of fact, we looked at five buildings before this building. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a hilarious story. We found a building in National City. We were at San Diego State, okay? We found this building in National City on a street called Highland. Now, I'd never been to Highland, didn't know anything about Highland. I found it in the middle of the day. The people laughing know where I'm going with this story. So we found it was a big building. It was about as big. It was a little smaller than this, but it was big. This was 10 and a half years ago. It was before we found this. So we found it in the middle of the day. The guy brought me down there. We walked around the building. I'm like, yeah, this is the bomb. I had a big parking lot. So one Sunday night, after church, I said, you know what, I'm going to drive down there and see what the neighborhood's like at night. So I drive down. This is a real true story. Some of the stuff I tell you is not true, but this is really true. But I'll tell you when I'm not telling you the truth. This is true. I drive down there, and I'm rolling up towards Highland, and I see all these cop lights flashing like cop cars. Well, Highland, who's the lady laughing? Who's laughing? You know what I'm talking about? This is going to trip you out. As far as you can see to the north and to the south on Highland was all these lowriders, gang members all mugged up. You know, hey, what's up? Cops everywhere. And every Sunday night, that was the strip right in front of the building. And you know what God said? This is not your building. Now, I'm not saying those people are bad. I'm just saying that wasn't the place God wanted me to put the church. So my point is that God will direct you when he wants you to direct you. But he says, sometimes he says, you have options. Just go. Don't stress. Sometimes. Look at Genesis 1. This is very, very insightful, I hope, for you. It says, God said, let us make man in our image. Say us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our, say our, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and over the cattle and everything on the earth, and over every creep that creeps on the earth. God created, say created, man his own image. In the image of God, he created, say created, him male and female. To be technically correct, God is the only creator who can take nothing and make something. To be technically correct. But in general sense, he says, I made you in my image, which means I've made you a creator. You can design stuff, come up with ideas. All of you, to some degree, are a creator. When you got dressed this morning, you said, I want to coordinate. Now, some people can coordinate better than others. But to some degree, you wanted to match colors at least. And then some people can do it, you know, to the world. But that's being creative. When you do your apartment, that's being creative. When you make food, you're being creative. God says, I made you to be creative. So in your creativity, I'm going to give you, when you have ideas, I'm going to give you opportunities where you could just create something. Make something up. Go ahead. As long as it doesn't offend me, as long as it's not sinful, I'm going to give you options. Don't stress over every little detail. I'll tell you when I want you to change something. I'll tell you when you're going in the wrong direction. But go. Don't paralyze yourself because you have to have every single detail. Now, am I contradicting myself? No. I'm adding to the revelation about how to understand God's will. Because God wants you to move. He doesn't want you to be sitting paralyzed, waiting. He wants you to walk with him. Remember, he's walking. He's like, come on, let's do this. And when something's not right, he'll change it. Matter of fact, you see all these rails in front of every single one of you, except you people down here. They are rails with wires in them. Do y'all see those rails? Okay, those. When we first designed this room, everywhere those rails are was originally going to be a solid wall. So this rail down here was going to be cinder block right in front of all of you guys right here. Now, we didn't know that. I didn't know what it looked like until they built it. They built that wall originally cinder block. Imagine if that wall was cinder block and that was wood. And you couldn't see through it. When they built it, we went, oh! God said, you got to change direction. My point is this. You go, and then you have time where God's going to change your direction. He's going to change your mind. He's going to give you opportunity to change. But don't be paralyzed because God wants you to have the freedom to move. So some of the ideas you have, you wonder, God, what do I do? What do I do? For some of those, I would say, just go. Just go. And by the way, as long as it doesn't violate this next and last point, God's will brings life. Here's what I mean by that. The Bible says that the penalty of sin is death. Everyone say death. Whether it be how you spend your money, whether it be your lifestyle, which is stuff you do with your friends, your body, your mind, your diet, whatever, or whether it be with relationships, if you fast forward your behavior, does it bring death? Disease, dysfunction, heartache, prison, addiction? Or does it bring life? Health in your body, health in relationships, health in relationships with God. And so you may be thinking in your mind, well, you know what? I think I'm going to move in with my boyfriend. And Miles said, just go for it. Does it bring death? And what I mean by death is this. Does that violate God's word and bring death to your relationship with God? Yes. Matter of fact, you may be contemplating dating somebody, a guy or a girl. You say, yeah, I this girl, she's cute. She only gets high 3 days a week. you know, she doesn't have a job, but, you know, she just comes home with money sometimes. I don't know where she gets it, but, you know, I'm good with that. You know, I'm good with that. And, you know, she don't want to have nothing to do with God, but she chants some stuff. But, I like the way it sounds, so I think that's good, too. Now, if this girl is going to draw you away from Christ because she has a lifestyle contrary to the Bible, there's nothing to pray about. Because it's death. Death in this sense. Spiritually, it's going to draw you away from God, not draw you to God. It doesn't mean you can't be her friend. It doesn't mean you can't encourage her in the faith. It doesn't mean you can't pray for her, spend time with her. This is totally different than being yoked together and dating somebody. Some of your decisions are just made for that right there. I think personally that ice cream is from God. I have no biblical basis of that. This is my opinion. And my opinion means what? But don't you agree? Okay, thank you very much. And I think, and this is my opinion, that God says, enjoy ice cream. But if you said, I'm going to eat ice cream all day, every day, that's death. You will die. It will kill you sooner or later. It's not good for your health. Can we get an amen on that? My point is this, is that does that mean ice cream is bad or good? No, it just means in moderation. God, how do you want me to enjoy this in a way that fosters life? I enjoy it. I work out. I burn off. It's no harm, no foul, and we're good. That's different than saying I'm going to consume myself with it. And so when you think about your decisions, am I making a decision that's going to promote my relationship with God, that's going to enhance my ability to serve God, that's going to build his kingdom, or am I going to make a decision that's going to deteriorate that? Whether it be eating ice cream to your Bible study habits. It all needs to enhance and move you closer to God somehow and not destroy your relationship with God. And some things are for enjoyment. What does ice cream do? It's just enjoyment. You know, it's whatever. It's not going to draw you away from God unless you abuse it. But my point is this, is that go do what God is calling you to do, but stay in contact with God. God, is this honoring you? Is it dishonoring you? Is this relationship dishonoring you? You may have with some people that are on the fence. You don't know if they're Christian. And you're constantly listening to God, and all of a sudden he reveals to you they're not walking with God. You need to get out. That's just how life is. But what you don't want to do is paralyze yourself by having to overthink everything. You do want to get a multitude of counsel. You do want to check in with God all the time. But sometimes God says, just go. Just go. Go try something. So my encouragement to you this week is this. God is challenging you to do something. You have this the dilemma. Is that you probably heard God and you don't realize it. It's a little small still voice in your head. It sounds like your conscience. And if that little small voice in your head that sounds like your conscience is not telling you to do something that's sinful, I would take a little baby step and follow it and see what happens. Then take another little baby step and follow it and see what happens. And keep asking, God, are we good? And then God's going to say, go right a little bit. Okay, take another little step. Go backwards because you're going to fall off the stage. Go left. And guess what? You will find yourself, and by the way, remember, it's practice and it's a process. You will find yourself, stuff start to unfold in your life. And then every now and then, God's going to tell you to do something that is completely unrelated to whatever this project is. Understand this. God blesses you on the left when you are obedient on the right. You're over here trying to get a new job, and God tells you to call your mother up for what you did as a teenager and apologize. And you think, what did I do as a teenager that I need to apologize for? You were a teenager. You say, Mom, I'm sorry. I literally did this to my mother. I said, Mom, I'm sorry for everything I put you through when I was a teenager. You didn't put me through anything. You were a good child. I said, Mom, we'll just leave it at that. When you have children, it's the first time your heart lives outside your body. And I didn't know that until I had kids. You call your mother up and you apologize, and all of a sudden you get this job. Why? Because God said, if you're faithful in little things, I'll entrust you in the big things. And sometimes the little things have nothing to do directly with the big things other than God. Being faithful all the time. So my encouragement to you this week, take a little baby step, Write it down. Read your Bible. Do something. Never do nothing. And see what happens. Amen? Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much that you have plans for us that are good. And I pray that we would take advantage of those plans and ask you for insight and wisdom on what they are and how to execute them in our life. I pray you bless everybody this week. I pray that there's some people this week who have been struggling with decisions, that they would go for it this week, knowing they cannot violate your word. When they do it, they can't bring death into their life. And that they would stay in constant prayerful contact with you so you can redirect them. Thank you, God, for being a God of love. And I thank you for all the people who volunteered yesterday. I pray you bless them. I pray they are excited about the next opportunity, which can come tonight. And Lord, I pray for those two people who haven't been to In-N-Out. I pray they go to In-N-Out down the street and they can meet some good people, nice people from The Rock who I know are going to be there praying about what they're going to eat. But I pray, Lord, as we go to In-N-Out, that we honor you, that the people who work there will go home every Sunday night and say, those people from The Rock are really nice. They're loud, but they're not cursing. They're having fun. They bring life to our store, and they're nice people. I want to go to that church. May we be a good witness in that place and clean up after ourselves. Thank you for the people of this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all need to grab those two people and take them in. Oh, by the way, if you take them, buy them food. Don't let them pay. Amen? God bless y'all. What's up, man?
How you doing, man?